Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
Yes, here we go. Woo-hoo. Chris Brame, Jeff Dantzler with you. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Another hour with you today as we'll have coverage from the Athens Country Club and the Touchdown Club of Athens coming up from 6 until 7 with David Johnston, who will be live there with special guests, including the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey.
I want to send out happy birthday wishes to our buddy Vol fan Rob, who is a regular listener. And also, Chris, Dave was just telling me two of the special guests that we'll have, two of the great Georgia players from the 70s, Ronnie Swoops and Dickie Clark. Ronnie Swoops was the top defensive tackle for the 76 SEC champs. And we were just looking through the media guide, the size of the other three defensive linemen, Dickie Clark, who's Coach Clark to me, he did a great job as a longtime assistant at Georgia. Coach Clark was around 203. Our other defensive end, Lawrence Kraft, was around 210. The other tackle, Jim Griffiths, was 220. Ronnie Swoops was 6'3", 245. And the nickname of that defensive line, the great Irk Russell gave him, was Ronnie and the Runts. But that was
so even back then that was considered small,
right? Yeah. But that was a fabulous defensive line, and Dickie Clark, in fact, had I believe it was an 87-yard interception return for a touchdown against Mississippi State in 1975. That was a big Georgia win. They had beaten us in 74, so that'll be great for Dave to catch up with two of the great defenders for the 75 Cotton Bowl team, and then the 76 SEC champs. It was also Tech Fan Eric's birthday today.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Tech Fan Eric. We still don't have a pick, huh? We didn't intercept a pass Saturday night, did we?
Had another one, probably should have made a play on, and they even had a completion off a tipped ball. Going to have to get – you know, that's the one thing, Chris, I'd say with the defense. Maybe one of the young guys like LeCount emerges. Maybe it starts hitting for Dominic Sanders, and that stuff's contagious. Right now, as great as this defense is playing, we don't have that ball hawk in the secondary. So, I mean, I'm telling you, as good as that front seven is, I mean, you think now, and listen, anybody, if you're a great player, you're a great player. It spans the generations. But you just think if we had a Sean Jones or a Thomas Davis back there now with this front seven.
Yeah, because that's the only level of the defense that's a little sketchy. It's still the secondary. And maybe getting Malcolm Parrish back will help.
Sure.
You know, Aaron Davis did hurt his hamstring, and so he was a little hobbled there for a bit too. But the front seven is absolutely nasty. As of right now. But, getting a few more takeaways would come in handy.
That was a nice verbal commitment today that the Dogs got from Tramell Walltower, good defensive tackle from down in Liberty County.
Yeah, he's guess he was LeCount's teammate, huh?
He was.
All right, let's get into today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, oddly enough, as I did stay committed to boycotting these farcical contests that athletics directors schedule between SEC powerhouses and schools they have no business playing. But oddly enough, I ended up watching two less competitive games, the Mississippi State LSU game and also the Clemson and Louisville game. The Texas-USC game was actually
awesome.
Fantastic, though. But tell me about Georgia. What did I miss? How did the Dogs look? Did it really matter? It was against Samford.
I think Georgia looked good. Like we say, going back to the all you got to do is go dressed and you're accepted at the party to what's our first goal? What's the first key, Chris?
Win the game.
You got to win the game. So winning the game. So if just merely winning the game by one point, that's wearing a Speedo. Going out and winning 55-0, you're in a tuxedo. Yeah, Georgia was in khakis and a nice golf shirt. And what was most disappointing, honestly, was the first drive of the game. The Dogs got stuffed on a fourth and short. But the defense came up with a stop. And then Georgia went on a great scoring march. I thought Jake Fromm played very well. Again, he had one pass in particular that would probably be picked next week and returned for a touchdown, and that probably goes for the next 9 weeks. So he knows that. And he turned it over, but that was a cause and effect. Georgia had a drop pass. It would have been a first down, led to a third and 10. Jake was scrambling, trying to get the first down. He got hit, and he fumbled it. Next possession, Georgia dropped to third and short. And, you know, those are the types of plays that you just absolutely have to make. Because here's the deal. This Mississippi State defense, Chris, Georgia's not going to score every time the Bulldogs have the ball. We know that. But you have to at least move the chains a time or two when you got the ball. The three and outs will kill you. And I believe was the number you pulled up. Did they make LSU go three and out four times?
I didn't see that.
Last Saturday.
All I know is they won by 30, and LSU didn't turn it over.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that was just in other words, there was nothing fluky about that outcome where you look at it and say, like, maybe LSU just – did they turn it over five times like Auburn did? No. They just got completely demolished by Mississippi State, of all teams. And now the all the scaries have set in, Jeff. I mean – they beat LSU by 30, and we only beat Samford by 28. I mean, how in the world are we favored by a touchdown Saturday? I have no clue.
Well, and what scares you, too, about Mississippi State, Chris, you have a pretty good formula. They got a heck of a quarterback who can run it and throw it, and they've got some kind of a talented defensive line. And, of course, Georgia's number one question mark is that offensive line. Line's coming together. It's getting better. But this could be – I would say until Auburn, the best defensive line that Georgia faces.
Yeah, and I think overall it'll be the best team Georgia faces with Auburn the other candidate for the rest of the season. I mean, these guys are better than either of the two teams I watched play in Gainesville Saturday. They are, I think, more complete than Vandy. I believe Vandy's defense is as legit as any defense in the SEC. You know, the case about who they played, who's anybody played at this point. So, but yeah, Mississippi State is either them or Auburn. Those are the two toughest games that, well, maybe they won't be the two toughest games. They'll be the two best teams Georgia plays the rest of the year.
I just got a bing in from ESPN, which just reminded me, just more bad news for the Giants. Not only might not Odell Beckham play tonight, doesn't sound that way. The team that smoked them last Sunday night got annihilated in Denver yesterday. So yeah. If you're a Giants fan, Dallas humiliated you, and then they got humiliated yesterday.
The
not good big
the
picture.
Broncos effectively suspended Ezekiel Elliott for a game. He had 14 touches for 12 yards.
Wow.
Combined rushing and catching. So I know the NFL lost a court battle today trying to get his suspension upheld. Well, don't worry, NFL. He did get one game docked yesterday in Denver. Speaking of injuries, though, we've got the Falcons with Vic Beasley, who led the NFL in sacks last season, is going to miss the next month after partially tearing his hamstring in last night's win over the Packers. Jeff, how big of a blow is this going to be to Atlanta? And are the Falcons still the team to beat in the NFC after what we witnessed last night?
Well, that would certainly be the thinking there, because you think about, especially, Chris, the teams that have been to three of the last four Super Bowls, Seattle and Atlanta. Green Bay beat Seattle, and now Atlanta – beat Green Bay.
Also, the Seahawks have now scored one touchdown in eight quarters.
What's happened with Seattle, that secondary has gotten a little old. That offensive line is not very good at Seattle, so that's probably hurt Russell Wilson. Now, still, they're a team you definitely do not want to go there in the playoffs, and because of that division.
They were losing yesterday to San Francisco midway through the fourth quarter,
though. San Francisco is horrible.
Yeah, they haven't scored a touchdown yet.
So,
but I think Brian Hoyer does stand for the national anthem. So they've got that going for him at quarterback, even though they haven't scored a touchdown yet.
They have not. I would say Atlanta, and of course, the team that came out to a thunderous start, those Tampa Bay Buccaneers, those are your two teams to beat in the NFC right now.
Yeah, they thumped the Bears yesterday.
So have the Bears given up? Now it's 0-2?
Probably. Yeah, I would think now they pretty much. They're wishing they had Jay Cutler. like the mighty Miami Dolphins do.
Or could Bears fans say, hey, you know what? We played Atlanta a lot closer than Green Bay did. We could win that division.
Yeah. The Chargers are in for a long season. Ooh, they have no home field advantage there. More than half that crowd was showed up rooting for the Dolphins yesterday. And even then, they generously called it like 25,000. The capacity is only like 28,000 or something. I mean, the San Diego's kicker, the rookie, played at Georgia Southern. He probably is like, this is the size of the stadium I kicked in college, and I played in Statesboro, Georgia.
Yep.
But they're going to have no home field advantage at all this season.
No. No, they're going to have none. All right, Chris, who had in the pros yesterday? Did Kansas City have the best win beating Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Denver maybe?
I would say Denver. Denver had to be the most surprising blowout of the day.
Smoke them
in
like
another
that,
day no that had a lot of blowouts. I think the average margin of victory yesterday was about 12 or 13 points. Mm-hmm. That was definitely the most surprising. I mean, the thing about Kansas City is they were at home with extra time.
Yes.
So they had a pretty nice advantage there since they opened up on that Thursday night.
And the Chargers with that loss, though. They're going to finish last in that division because Oakland, Denver, and Kansas City are all 2-0, and the Raiders won by 25 over the hapless Jets. Denver with the performance of the day beating Dallas 42-17, and again, like we said, Kansas City with the win over Philadelphia, a couple of good teams there. So that AFC West looking very strong.
Yeah, well, except for the Superchargers that unfortunately they're homeless right now.
They are.
I wonder, like, they're not going to stay in L.A., I'll bet.
They're
that's
going to
be the next team. Yeah, and that's going to be the next team that's that the NFL is going to dangle out there for leverage to, like, move somewhere, I'll bet. Maybe they'll end up in London.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see the Ravens are taking a cruise over there this week? They left yesterday. They're going to spend a whole week on a big cruise ship. Evidently, they've done some research and studies on the time change and doing it gradually.
Mm-hmm. I see. That makes sense.
Will help them out.
That makes sense.
But anyway, they play Jacksonville there Saturday. The problem is Jacksonville plays there every year, so they're probably used to it.
Right.
Meanwhile, I mean, the Ravens are going on a cruise for a week. They are not winning next Sunday.
So they don't even have an off week before it?
No, they left yesterday. They're on a cruise ship right now heading to London.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
I
mean, they're going to practice and stuff. The cruise ship is massive. They've got a 100-yard field. They're going to practice.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, those players, go and look at their Twitter accounts. Those guys are on a cruise right now. And also, Marshall Yanda's out for the season. They're all, their star offensive guard. So load up on the Jaguars Sunday morning in London because they do that trip every year. The Ravens don't. Now, the Ravens have done this study. And they think it's going to be a good idea. But the problem with is their players are on a cruise right now, and they're going to show up in London and have to play a game.
And I'm telling you, it's easier going east. And the key is you fly to London, you don't go to bed. You suck it up, and you get on the normal time there. So usually what you'll do is you'll take like a 5:30 or 6 o'clock flight. You get there at 9:30 or 10 the next morning. Don't nap. I'm sure you dozed on and off on the plane. You go through that day, you try and go to bed around your normal time, let's say average 10 o'clock or so, and it might be tough getting through the day, and then you'd be amazed at how quickly you get on local time.
Right. So you maybe make the trip out there like Wednesday or Thursday.
They're going to be on a cruise.
They're going to be on a cruise, which maybe that'll help acclimate them to the time change better. Again, they'll be going through hour by hour through the time zones, and that'll help, but the problem is those guys are spending a week on vacation right now, and then they're going to have to show up Sunday and play a game. So
who was the team that was like – they were going through training camp at the Greenbrier?
That was Arizona, and they ended up getting beaten.
I mean, the Greenbrier is one of the nicest resorts in the world.
They played somebody out east, and then they spent the whole week out there at the Greenbrier and then played – I think they played Pittsburgh that following Sunday, and it's just like, I mean, they basically had a week vacation. Sure, they practiced and stuff,
but it felt
like they were on vacation.
I mean, I'll tell you this. When Georgia's gone to bowl games, and I mean, and it's different if you're, playing for huge stakes, but if it's kind of a medium-range bowl and you're in Orlando, the practice – now, you're going to be excited about the game, but practicing – because, of course, you're out of school. So,
yeah. Yeah, Ravens are on a vacation. The Ravens are on a cruise right now.
It's a vacation.
Yes. And they're going to go to London, and then they're going to play Sunday, and the Jaguars are going to beat them. The Jaguars are used to doing that.
Yeah, they are.
They go every year.
Nice bounce back by the Tennessee Titans yesterday, speaking of Jacksonville. And, of course, Houston winning that instant classic Thursday. Another good bounce back win.
All right, but they got to go to New England now this Sunday.
The Pats are back.
Yeah, the Pats are back. Tom Brady did to New Orleans what Sam Bradford did to them.
Eviscerate them.
The crazy number I saw on New England with Brady's passing stats was, you know, he threw for over 400 yards, and less than half of those yards went to receivers, though.
Rex Burkhead, I saw, had a touchdown.
There's a lot of dump-offs to run. You know, James White was the menace there.
And that's a great. I loved Rex Burkhead at Nebraska.
Then he got hurt yesterday. So did Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I saw Gronk scored a long TD. And
I would say that one thing about the Falcons game last night, though, is Dan Quinn needs to teach that defense how to cover running backs out of the backfield, though. That was actually an Achilles heel last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was why I love James White over catches in the Super Bowl, because the Falcons struggled with it all last season, and the Falcons were struggling with it again last night. So running backs catching passes is one area that defense needs to clean up. But they still have that offense that scores a lot of points,
that
though.
That is some
That'll
kind
help.
Of offense, and they got a great kicker.
Jeff, as we move on in the today's 5-5, what's the most impressive? I've been asking you the last couple weeks, non-Alabama thing a team did this week, but as it turns out, Alabama's no longer the best team in the country. It's Clemson. So what's the most impressive non-Clemson feat a team accomplished Saturday?
I got to go with Mississippi State, Chris, to beat LSU 37-7. Throw in that they're a 7-point underdog.
Yeah, I think I would have to sign off on that, too.
And how about
Auburn won a game where they turned it over five times. That's something.
How about in the state of Tennessee? Memphis and Vandy get huge wins at home over UCLA and Kansas State.
Yeah. That 9 a.m. kickoff time didn't help.
Good call there.
And they got to go to Stanford this weekend, although Stanford's got their own problems. They lost to San Diego State.
That was a bad road trip. The week after playing USC,
yeah,
going down to SD State.
So they had back-to-back weeks on the road.
In SoCal.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
They might have stayed down there, though. They haven't started classes yet. And if they did, it's probably why they lost, because then they just had like a week off in Southern California with school not started yet.
Let's go hang out in La Jolla.
Yeah, I wonder what they did.
I'm sure they went back.
Think they went back even without class?
I'm sure. That'd be an expensive week. San Diego ain't cheap.
Nope. No, it isn't. Maybe they stayed somewhere in between, though.
Tell you who did burn San Diego, now L.A., your Miami Dolphins, undefeated.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone in L.A. really cared about that, or the Rams for that matter. I love every week now that they've starting to add up the fans in the Coliseum for USC games, and then the fans that show up to watch the Rams play.
But they're going to spend $1 billion on a new stadium?
Yeah. Mm. So the Rams will be there for a while, I guess, since they are getting that new stadium. But I can't see the Chargers sticking around for too long.
Maybe they'll go back to San Diego.
Well, that's if they can grift the taxpayers out of building them a stadium, they will.
Or, you know where they could end up is Oakland.
Would people in Oakland all of a sudden root for the Chargers, though?
That'd be sickening.
Yeah.
Because it's a big rival. I mean, that's going back to the AFL.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in Oakland and the Chargers show up, and are they going to be your team now because the Raiders aren't there?
To me, that's one of those, in my opinion, when a team leaves a city, I think they should have to get a new nickname.
And change the logo, like the Browns did when they went to Baltimore.
Because if said city does get another team, like when Oakland loses the Raiders to Las Vegas, if – you know, 5 years from now, Oakland gets a team, they should be the Oakland Raiders.
Agreed.
Like, to me, Baltimore's got a team. They should be the Colts. It's weird when the Ravens play Indy. Baltimore's playing the Colts. How is that possible?
Right. What if they left Cleveland and just stayed the Baltimore Browns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland gets a team. It's like, no, that's no good.
No. So that's the one that did do it right.
Yes.
They changed.
Yes. You got to just change the whole thing.
Like Tennessee did.
The Titans.
Although Houston came back, and for some reason they decided not to be the Oilers again with those great jerseys that they had.
Great jerseys, great helmets, great nickname, great uniforms.
Why'd they go with the Texans? Why wouldn't they just be the Oilers again?
And think of, maybe my favorite, as far as characters go, head coach running back duo in NFL history, Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell.
Yeah, with that big cowboy hat he wore.
That's hard to beat.
All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up today's 5 at 5. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, will be the keynote speaker tonight at the Touchdown Club of Athens. David Johnson will be there from 6 until 7. If we were going Grandpa Simpsons-esque compose a letter to Greg Sankey with a list of demands, how would it read?
I do think, big picture, the schedule idea that we came up with, playing 9 conference games, no divisions, everybody has 5 common opponents. You play the other 4 one year, and then the next 4 that you didn't play that year, the season after that, so on and so forth. That way, over a 4-year period, you've played every team at least twice, and you'd played every team in the SEC at home and away. And I think a lot we should look to at the way television is, and especially with the times and the dates and the start times of some of these games, and have the school. And I get it that the SEC Network and the like, they've got to fill programming. But some of the games you'll see on at certain hours, I'd rather see some of those SEC storied, to be honest with you. So I think the schools do need to have a bit more say. And the example I'll use was this past season in basketball, Georgia playing Mississippi State at home on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on Valentine's night. And the game was so unimportant, there weren't even announcers there for television. They did that awful thing where they've got guys in studio calling games, which is a wrong way to try and cut cost. That's one of those, it's bad for the schools and it's bad for the TV business, because the reason ESPN got in partner with the SEC is the passion of the fan bases. Well, nobody's going to be at a game like that.
Well, not in hoops, though.
No, well, I mean, let's face it, I mean, it all goes back to football.
Yeah.
But the passion of the fan base is so
– at Kentucky, maybe.
If you've got nobody there, that's a loser for both the schools, and it's a loser for television.
Yeah, I mean, it kills Georgia.
So
you don't want any recruit watching that.
No. So, you know, I would think, too, you know, kind of these set times. For a game like Georgia's with Samford this past Saturday, I mean, that's one to me that the game was on – the alternate channel. It wasn't on like a main channel. So my buddy Mike Morgan did the play-by-play. He's excellent. But that's one to me where he's, all right, we ought to be able to say we're going with an old-school kickoff time. What we did in the 70s, we're going to kick off at 2.
Well, I kind of feel like maybe that is the case, because last year we played one of those games at noon. This year we played at 7:30. So
let's play at 2.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could just decide that, right?
I think we should. The school should have a little more flexibility.
But I think they do, don't they?
I
mean, some schools play at 3:30.
Yeah,
Auburn played someone last year at 3:30.
Yeah, I don't know how it all works. I mean, I thought yesterday the NFL kind of. I thought it was a neat thing because I like stagger deals. Because of that weather delay in Denver,
it went right in. I mean, the fact that we haven't had a noon game yet pretty much proves that schools can dictate when the games are kicked off, because I find it rather – I mean, otherwise it's just a happy coincidence that last year there was so much controversy over the fact that Georgia had all these noon kickoffs and now suddenly we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, they've got some input in it. But then there's maybe some overcompensation when you're kicking off at 7:30 against Samford.
But I do think it's a deal where the league, the schools, and TV could get together. And again, just the example I use for the Georgia and Mississippi State. In the grand scheme of things, that's not a huge deal. But we got to take care of our fans. And that means the fans that go to the games as well as the fans that watch them on TV, and I love doing both. But just to have everybody kind of come to an agreement that, well, you know what, maybe we don't necessarily need a game on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Because part of it, too, it's kind of like when the SEC baseball series started going to Thursday through Saturday, you know, there was always one of those, and then it crept, and it was two, and it was three. Fans aren't used to it, plus it's a school night, plus it's a work night. And even at a place like LSU or Ole Miss, you just don't draw on those nights. And for years and years for basketball, the men played on Wednesday and Saturday. The women played Thursday and Sunday. You had the one Tuesday nighter. I'd kind of like to see us go back to that a bit more traditional.
Tradition.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
That's a dirty word. All right. There's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.